on and on. What is important? With all this information, what do I watch? What should I focus on to reach my trading potential? I know of many new and developing traders overwhelmed with information and empty with ideas to improve. Certainly, I have witnessed too many prop traders start their careers focusing on all the things that have nothing to do with making money. One common question that I am asked during an interview is, who is the worst trainee? My answer? Anyone who thinks they know what they are doing. I do not mean to be condescending with this remark, but as a developing trader, it is imperative that you work on the right things. You must focus on the process and learn how to trade from those who have been doing this a lot longer than you have. Preconceived notions about what is important before you trade professionally can be harmful, so this pyramid of success exercise is offered to make sure that everyone is focused on what is truly important. If these traders indeed do focus on what is important, in time they will find out how good they can be. If they take another path, the market will eliminate them with no exceptions. But first, take a stab at filling in the pyramid of success. If you were in that room with all those ambitious, passionate new traders attempting frantically to fill out that blank pyramid, what would you offer as answers to what is truly important to succeed as an intraday trader? Once you've done that, listen to this chapter for a discussion of what is really important to the intraday trader. Good luck. First, be unoriginal. Often new traders mistakenly believe that trading is about developing some brilliant new strategy or making bold predictions. At some point, I have to remind them that at 22 years old, they are not yet a market guru. They are not Jim Rogers or Warren Buffett or John Paulson. Perhaps one day they will be stars like these guys, in which case I might demand a cut of their billions. But for now, they should come in with an open mind. My sense is that this falsehood is propagated by the new trader's misinterpretation of what they learn to be important from the media. If we are not sure, blame the media, right? Every day, experts go on CNBC or Bloomberg News and propagate grand theories, more often than not, talking their book. Some are legitimate. Some got placed there by good publicists. Please do not mistake what they do with what most meat and potatoes intraday traders do. We do not make grandiose predictions on the direction of the U.S. economy. We do not have billions we must invest like hedge fund and mutual fund managers. We are not long-term investors. Successful prop firms first and foremost emphasize trading skill development. Simply put, you do not have to develop a brilliant new trading strategy, as we teach you proven ones. So before you start calling yourself a market wizard, learn how to trade. When you gain experience, after you have developed good habits and skills, you will be able to create new plays that work for you, but not at the beginning. My advice to any new traders is to seek a mentor who will offer you trading skills that will allow you to adapt to any market. Learn more in Chapter 12. What works one month may not work the next, but with fully developed trading skills, you can make the necessary adjustments. Let me offer an example. No longer hitting the new low. In the fall of 2008, hitting the new intraday low in a stock would work in the financials. See figures 4.1 and 4.2 on your bonus material, which were bleeding daily. By hitting the new intraday low, I mean getting short a stock in an intraday downtrend when it makes a fresh intraday low for the day. There was a run on some, if not all, of the banks. Of the big banks left, the market kept asking who would be next. During the fall of 2008, sometimes I felt the only bad trade I could make was to cover a short. Before I talk about when this strategy started to fail with GS, it is imperative I give context to what we're dealing with. It was one of the best times in history to trade our intraday style, as stock prices of financial institutions were moving like the dot-coms of yesteryear, just in the other direction. In March 2008, Bear Stearns, a firm with an 80-plus year history of never losing money, needed to be rescued and was sold to J.P. Morgan at a deep discount with support from the Federal Reserve. 6 months later, a flurry of activity ensued. The U.S. government nationalized mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The mighty Merrill Lynch was acquired by Bank of America, an ego blow to thousands of brokers not used to handing out toasters to new clients. And, of course, who could forget Lehman Brothers? Lehman was a firm known for recruiting some of the best finance talent in the world, and in the absence of government support, filed for bankruptcy, prompting a falling-off-the-cliff moment for the global economy. Hallowed names in the financial industry were being eliminated one by one, seemingly day after day. But wait, there was even more. The Federal Reserve bailed out AIG, the largest insurance company in the world, the day after Lehman went under. Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs, the two whitest shoe names in the investment banking world, would soon join their Merrill peers in handing out toasters as they incorporated to bank holding companies. These Wall Street icons would now be subject to more intense regulation as depository institutions. Washington Mutual, a thrift that had grown by leaps and bounds in recent years, was seized by the FDIC, creating the largest bank failure ever. PNC Bank soon bought Ohio-based Stalwart National City, and California megabank Wells Fargo bought fast-sinking Wachovia. With Wall Street and Main Street simultaneously collapsing, SMB must have gone out of business, right? No. Mike, you blew up your trading account? Nope. This was the best intraday trading time period since 1999. And let me say that I hated every day during this crisis, even with the outsized trading profits. Your job as a trader is to exploit excellent risk-reward opportunities, but this is not how I want to make money. Good people lost jobs that will never return. Historic firms were just destroyed in a blink of an eye. On my desk, I wondered if it was possible for our entire banking system to go down. Was the money in my bank account safe? Did I need to withdraw it all and put it in a safe in my apartment? Would all of these trades I was making eventually clear? I didn't really think any of this was what might happen, but I did have these thoughts. The whole thing made me sick. It is a very strange feeling to sit on the trading floor of a firm you built from nothing, see your traders flourish, and wish it would all just stop. And there was still more to come. The financial crisis spread to Europe, which was apparently more overleveraged than America. The Fed cut rates to 1%, and eventually to practically nothing, a target rate in between 0 and 0.25%. The central banks coordinated cut rates. China ordered a stimulus package, and the U.S. government passed a $700 billion bailout of the nation's banks. Yes, this all really happened in less than a year. Actually, more like a few months. Talk about a trading opportunity. Anyway, enough of the painful history lesson, and back to trading. At the start of 2009, shorting the new intraday low, particularly in GS, would manifest a 50-cent rip. See figure 4.2. With just this trading play of hitting the new low, you would frequently lose money. But with fully developed trading skills, you would adjust. And we did. We waited for GS to spike after the new intraday low and shorted into an up move. When a new intraday low was created, then we covered. As you progress, you will get better at the plays that you are taught or learn. You will learn to trade with more size incrementally. You may stumble across a new play here and there, but almost all of the money that you make as a new trader should be from statistically measured, basic trading plays. Think of it as the first few pages of a high school football playbook. Basics up front, advanced stuff later on. On our desk, these are the plays that our partners and senior traders use every day to make money, and have been using for over a decade. Support plays, breakout trades, consolidation trades, range plays, momentum trades, trades to hold, etc. Master the basic trades first. When traders overlook the basics when confronted with low-hanging fruit, I can't help but get angry. One time, Steve and I met with our core traders about missing a trade in MON. MON offered 3 easy trades, and the partners and our head trader were in all of them. The core was not. Unacceptable. It was not so much that our core traders missed the trade. Hey, that happens. Trading is not easy. Rather, it was their poor listening skills. Steve, G-Man, and myself called out these trades on our internal intercom. Our desk ignored the guys who have made millions over their careers. They were yapping with the other guys on our desk who have, well, not made millions in their career. This concerned me, so we had a talk. Let's just say it was a one-way conversation. Our desk is saturated with talent, but talent, absent hard work and good listening skills, is not rewarded by the market. Our desk was not listening to a suggestion from their bosses on MON. They were in some dopey BAC support play and some mediocre MGM trade. They were doing their own thing, all against their self-interest. T-Bone, the ticking time bomb. Let me offer another example. When SMB first started, we ran our desk more loosely, and our barrier to entry was not what it is now. You cannot build a trading desk without traders, after all. So we invited some folks to join who claimed to be experienced traders and gave them the benefit of the doubt. Along those lines, an experienced options trader joined our desk. Let's call him T-Bone for the Seinfeld fans and the sake of this story. T-Bone made $1,500 the first day he traded with us. Great, profits. Before the close, I checked T-Bone's work to see how he did it. His work was horrendous. He shorted a strong stock and happened to make money, and got long a weak stock, and by chance profited. He doubled down with positions. He sold the top and bottom a few times in thinly traded stocks. He was a ticking time bomb. An intervention was necessary. Steve and I took T-Bone into our conference room and gingerly offered our analysis. His response? Guys, I made $1,500 on my first day. Obviously, I know what I'm doing. Thanks for your thoughts, though. Those were not exactly the words that I was hoping to hear. And what was worse was T-Bone's body language, which said, "What the hell are you morons talking about? Why are you bothering me?" This from a guy with 1 day of professional short-term equity trading experience. Not good. Now, to put it in context, T-Bone was arrogant. He was surly in this meeting, but he had been arrogant in his interviews as well. We took him on because we were looking for an experienced trader, and we didn't know any better. It would be hard for me to think of someone I found more unlikable than T-Bone. Very, very hard. Sensing potential disaster, Steve and I set an amount that we would allow T-Bone to lose. We then estimated just how quickly he would blow up his account. Steve set an over-under on how long it would last. I was forced to take the over as Steve beat me to the under, and Steve won the bet. T-Bone just ripped it up from that intervention on. We let him go. If you pretend to know what you are doing when you start, you will quickly just prove that you don't. You need reps. Experience will be the cure. There is only one outcome for those who pretend they know what they are doing, and that result is not a long-term future on a trading desk, or even as an individual trader. Spend your first 3 years just mastering basic trading plays and pushing yourself every day to get better. Save the new strategies for after you have learned how to trade. Be unoriginal. Survive the learning curve. Most traders struggle when they first begin. The great news is that the worst you will ever be as a trader will be when you first start, just like anything else. You have to hang in there and focus on improving. Remember, G-Man, one of the better intraday traders to hit the street in a long time, once walked into my office to quit. He soon went from I quit to head trader to partner. I was negative $36,000 8 months into my career and am writing this book. Steve did not make money for his first 6 months. One of the best intraday traders on the street was absolutely one of the worst at my original firm. This trader was in the bottom 10% of our firm, and today he is in the top 1% of all intraday traders. Our most improved trader in 2009 floundered for his first 7 months and now is headed to becoming a star. It takes time to get good. I see this time and time again. Those who can give trading more time when they start have a better chance to succeed. 8 months is better than 6, and 12 is better than both. You need reps. Like Hall of Fame basketball player Michael Jordan, who did not make his varsity basketball team when he was a sophomore in high school, you must be patient. But your time will come. At the start of your trading, you should trade with small size and with one stock. You should not increase your tier size until you are positive 7 out of 10 trading days. You should set a small max loss when you begin. You should be limited in your buying power. For example, when a new trader begins, he should not write more than 10,000 shares in a day, total. Let's visit a column, Genius, the Modern View, written by David Brooks of the New York Times to offer clarity for a trader's need to be patient when they begin. Mr. Brooks once wrote insightfully about the modern genius model. Basically, we are not born great at anything. It takes concerted practice to become great at something. He wrote, "The key factor separating geniuses from the merely accomplished is not a divine spark. It's not IQ, a generally bad predictor of success, even in realms like chess. Instead, it's deliberate practice. Top performers spend more hours, many more hours, rigorously practicing their craft," wrote Brooks. We are not born great at anything. You were not born a great trader. Sorry to that interviewee who claimed trading was in his blood. Tiger Woods was not born great. Tiger had a father intent on improving his physical and mental skills. And today, after numerous majors, fame, generational wealth, this is his daily practice routine. 6 a.m., lift weights for 90 minutes. 7:30 a.m., breakfast. 9 to 11 a.m., hit balls on practice range. 11 to 11:30 a.m., putting. 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., play 9 holes. 12:30 to 1 p.m., lunch. 1 to 3 p.m., hit balls on practice range. 3 to 4 p.m., work on short game. 4 to 5 p.m., play 9 holes. 5 to 5:30 p.m., hit balls on practice range. 5:30 to 6 p.m., putting. Not convinced yet that you are not going to be a great trader on day one? Let's check out Malcolm Gladwell's page-turner, Outliers. Mr. Gladwell explores the commonalities amongst the uber-successful. Those that Mr. Gladwell studied all worked at their craft for at least 10,000 hours before they were great. Microsoft founder Bill Gates, Tiger Woods, musical sensation The Beatles, and Intel founder Bill Joy all had extraordinary opportunities to practice their craft, which was responsible for their greatness. Gladwell explains, "Working hard is what really successful people do." And in yet another example of analysis, Jeff Colvin in Talent is Overrated, What Really Separates World-Class Performers from Everybody Else, wrote that deep practice, often with continuous feedback, is necessary to become great. Concentrated practice is key. Not to digress too much, but let's explore the world of tennis with my friend Daniel Coyle in The Talent Code. Greatness isn't born, it's grown. Here's how. For further evidence that you must remain patient to become a solid trader. Russian women accounted for half of the top 10 ranked players in the world in 2007. Wow! 3 of those players were produced by Spartak, a dumpy club where they felt lucky if the heat worked. Their secret? Deliberate practice on technique, constant critical feedback, and improving weaknesses. At Spartak, passionate instructors focus on the brickwork of developing the skills of their students. Players start at 5 years old, so they have practiced for at least 10 years before we ever meet them at Wimbledon, or better yet, the U.S. Open out in Flushing Meadows. If you want to be good at something, practice. Practice deliberately and do so for many years. Okay, so you don't like sports. Let's use an example from trading. After all, this is a trading book. In Edwin Lefebvre's classic, Reminiscences of a Stock Operator, we read, "Years of practice at the game, of constant study, of always remembering, enable the trader to act on the instant when the unexpected happens, as well as when the expected comes to pass." So, I guess you got to practice as a trader also. Sorry. Focus on improving every day. I know of no more encouraging fact than the unquestioned ability of man to elevate his life by conscious endeavor. Henry David Thoreau. As a new trader, it is tempting to focus solely on your profit-loss to judge your progress. There is a big scoreboard on your trading platform that is hard to ignore. Plus $300, negative $700, plus $1,500. This scoreboard never stops offering feedback. Do yourself a favor and cover up your profit loss. It is not significant when you first begin trading. On most advanced trading platforms, there is an option offered to etch out your profit loss. If yours doesn't, then go old school and use some masking tape. Seriously, go find some masking tape and slap it on your trading platform. Your goal is to develop skills first, make money second. You have to focus on getting better every day, day after day. Let's bring in a former trading colleague of mine. Back in the day, I love saying that, by the way, but it reminds me, too, that I'm older than most of those I work with. The trader who ended up best was, at first, considered a wuss. He was hesitant to enter the high-flying internet stocks. He was timid to size up with certain plays. But you could always find him talking to the better traders. He was always working on strange things that others weren't. I remember small things, like getting a glare guard for his computer so he could concentrate better. He started making the spreads in his own stocks with size, like a market maker. He could write down reams of notes in his journal. He started dipping his toes into the big boy stocks. He started adding size that others could not handle. And soon, he was the top dog. Your goal every day is to improve. Each day is a gift from the market to improve. Work hard. Each day is an opportunity to get better. Focus on the process. Ask thoughtful questions. I understand that there are many retail and individual traders who work from home. Not everyone has or wants the opportunity to start at a prop desk with experienced mentors. But for the individual and retail trader, let me share some advice from an expert. Dr. Brett Steenbarger at TraderFeed once wrote, "There is no question in my mind that if I were to start trading full-time, knowing what I know now, I would either join a proprietary trading firm or would form my own virtual trading group by connecting online and in real time with a handful of like-minded traders." Borrowing an idea from Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, it takes a village to raise a trader. You need a network that can add value. To whom can you turn to ask trading questions? Your mentor or trading community does not know what you do not know. They cannot read your mind. If you do not understand something, then ask. You must understand one concept to understand another. It is like building a house brick by brick. One well-formed brick helps support the next brick. If one is weak, then the others are in jeopardy. Traders cannot skip steps in the process. It is one foot forward and then the next. Master one topic and then, and only then, move on to the next. When I lecture our new traders, I instruct this is not an exercise for me to practice my presentation skills. And if you've ever watched me on StockTwits TV, they are obviously superb. Kidding. This is an interactive learning experience for my mentees. Questions are encouraged so that we teach better. Also, thoughtful questions improve the learning experience of others in your class. It helps others on our desk learn. In this day of thousands of trading blogs, StockTwits, Twitter, Facebook, IMs, email, Blackberries, and by the time this book is published, whatever new social networking application is hot, the iPad, you can reach an expert in any field. Bloggers will respond to your questions. I developed a relationship with Dr. Steenbarger by emailing him questions, which led to a phone call and then a personal introduction. Without embracing this new technology, we may never have met. Jack Welch, the legendary former CEO of GE, once informed me on Twitter that his wife, Susie Welch, and he were to speak at the 92nd Street Y. I instantly bought tickets. Mr. Welch didn't actually inform me personally, but what's the difference? I had an evening with Mr. and Mrs. Welch. I would never have known they were speaking at the Y if I did not embrace Twitter. I gained an opportunity to ask them questions about running a business. We have access to people whom we didn't in the past. You must take advantage of this wonderful technology to interact with experts. I had a question about a trend day, so I reached out to Corey Rosenblum of Afraid to Trade. Steve had a question on psychology and reached out to Dr. Steenbarger. He received a quick response. I am asked questions by new traders every day, and I answer every one. Boy, am I going to regret that last sentence. Your learning experience is as good as you make it. There will be things that you do not understand. This is common. What is not okay is to ever leave a lecture or move on from a topic without mastering it. And if this means questions asked to your mentor, then this is your responsibility. Please ask. Talk shop. Outside the office at social functions, there are inevitably those who only want to talk about what they do for a living. When traders gather, since they tend to be passionate about what they do, there is little discussion but trading, other than the game on the TV in the bar. When these moments happen, whether informally or formally at some industry function, you ought to discuss trading setups. What did the others in your community see? When you talk to other traders, concentrate on exchanging important levels in stocks, how your orders were treated by the specialist or market maker, your best play in a stock, what they noticed that you might have missed. Especially share the patterns that you notice. By offering your advice, you get great advice back to you tenfold. It's a karmic exercise like anything else. How do you spend your time? G-Man, Joe P., and I traded QCOM after hours, CHOP, and then I hopped on the subway much earlier than usual to head uptown. It was a road trip for SMB to experience Avatar on the IMAX with 3D glasses. On my ride uptown, I overheard some new day traders from another firm talking. I found their conversation unproductive. 3 20-something new traders stood bantering away. Did they discuss QCOM after the close and repeating ARCA and then NASD sellers who would not lift? After chopping up this play, G-Man exclaimed, "That was a 3K play." And then he sat and started to replay how he will make that happen next chance he sees this pattern. Joe P. joined in G-Man's quest to better trade this after-hours trading pattern. Did these new traders discuss the down move of CAT below 5350 and the double bottom at 5125 that fueled an impressive up move into the close? Did they discuss crazy Apple today? At one point, I thought we might see 225. At another point, I thought we might find 195. At other times, a few thousand shares moved Apple 50 cents. I tweeted, "If you want to know how the markets would trade if we passed transaction tax, watch $Apple, no liquidity, $." How about the bounce into the close? How about the failure to close below SPY 109? How about the amazing new iPad to be offered by Apple? How about Congress grilling Geithner? The President's State of the Union? The Toyota recall? the bullwhip effect on the front page of the journal, and that Steve highlighted during our AM meeting, the Fed decision to leave rates unchanged, what to trade tomorrow. After this day, these new traders, with an audience of other well-educated traders and a 30-minute subway ride ahead of them, decided to talk about what? You learn so much from talking trading with other traders. Right after the close is the best time to talk trading, as your mind is fresh with specific details about trading patterns. By listening to others discuss their trading, you can learn a trading pattern that perhaps you can use. You can gain information about important levels in stocks you may not have traded. You can learn how some stocks may trade. You can get a different perspective on perhaps the same stocks you were trading by swapping war stories. And on and on and on and on. And look, these guys were very polite, bright, ambitious traders. They work at a very good firm, and I wish them nothing but the best. But they had a choice how to spend their time during that subway ride. And they chose to talk about? It wasn't anything to do about making them better traders. They talked about how much others at their firm were making. It was impressive how much they knew about how much others were making. Your life is what you do, and not how much you make, where you sit on an airplane, who your parents are, or where you live. It is also partly how hot your girlfriend is. If your goal is to become an elite trader, then your time is a very valuable commodity. It is the most important commodity that you have. Use it wisely. Act in your self-interest. Be focused on all things becoming a better trader. Talking trading with other traders in your firm is a great way to get better. By the way, SMB loved Avatar. Amazing visuals. An incredible movie experience. I would tell you what disappointed Dr. Momentum about the movie, but I'm not sure if that is even appropriate for a blog, let alone a book. A great gift of the Internet is the many excellent trading blogs out there. See your bonus material for a list of blogs I recommend. Post comments on these blogs. Start a conversation. Go to Twitter. Follow traders whom you respect. Read the articles that they suggest. Comment on their tweets. Barry Ritholtz, in an interview with Damian Hoffman from Wall Street Cheat Sheet, shared, "One of the things I've loved about Wall Street is people are incredibly generous with their time and expertise. There is a mentoring relationship you can develop with people, and they're top-notch." You don't have to work at Goldman these days to have access to quality traders. Talk trading. Develop a daily work plan. Trading is not a 100-hour-a-week job. At least, it isn't for me. It certainly shouldn't be. Trading is as close to being a professional athlete as I can think of. You must be well-rested. Your performance changes from day to day. Trading, like sports, is performance-based. Traders who trade well, just like athletes who play well, are paid more than they deserve. A trader must recharge after the trading day. You must be fresh and alert for the next session. Save the 100-hour workweeks for the investment bankers, lawyers, and analysts, and partners of trading firms like me. Turning one trading day of experience into 10. Improving as a trader requires skill development. As traders, we may arrive at our trading desk, sit down, and trade. That is one day of trading experience. But what if you could take that same trading day and turn it into 10 days of trading experience? Interested? Well, developing a daily training schedule does just that. We have learned from prominent authors Gladwell, Colvin, and Coyle that to become great at anything requires deliberate practice working at your craft. As traders, we can develop such a learning schedule to improve our results. We can find ways to stimulate trading to get better. Traders can do the following to stimulate trading. Keep a detailed trading journal. Replay trades in your head like old-school traders. Talk trading with other traders. Use video review individually and as a group. Practice on a trading simulator, Secret Project X. This simulation can turn one day of trading into 10-plus days. Sean White, the Olympic snowboarder, used simulation before the Vancouver Games and exclaimed after a day of optimal practice that he experienced a couple years of riding in one day. Let's use a trading example to demonstrate how we as traders can turn one day into 10 plus. Example, Toyota, TM. One trading session, Toyota had a full-blown crisis on its hands. As had been widely reported, sticking gas pedals and potentially dangerous floor mats caused Toyota to recall 5.3 million vehicles since the fall of 2009, including some of its most popular models. TM was gapping down. During this intraday, while I was babysitting LXK, Carlton, one of our hard-working new traders, called out TM, Toyota. Quietly, he asserted, "Watch Toyota, it is below 75. I punched up TM. Below 75 was broken on the long-term and intraday charts. We had fresh news with their recent large-scale recall. Spencer chirped 70 was a downside possibility. TM would not trade below 74.75 on the tape. A significant buyer was supporting TM, though broken and fighting awful breaking news. Finally, the buyer left and I started a trades to hold short. 3 points of trending downside opportunity followed. I made a chop on this trade. This may appear like a layup trade at first glance. The best trade was below 74.75 after the buying stopped. Skills to read the tape and enter with the best risk-reward were required. There are subsets and nuances to learn for this one trading setup. It takes practice to develop the skill to handle the subsets to all of these trades. Simulation is how we can practice as a trader. Once in the trade, a developing trader needs to ask, "When do I exit?" A trader needed to decide when to cover. Perhaps when the intraday downtrend was broken? Perhaps after the first significant down move just below 74? Perhaps when any strength was spotted on the tape? A trader needed to read his charts to confirm the downtrend using multiple time frames, 1 minute, 5 minute charts. A trader needed to be glued to a news feed in case of an announcement of an unexpected upgrade or defense of the stock by a tier one bank, which would have caused a reversal. Some traders may have been poised to cover if they spotted significant buying on the tape, so they did not lose an excellent risk reward setup. What was the overall market doing? TM is an ADR, so how does this matter? What was the automotive sector doing as a whole? Was the overall market strong, making it less likely for TM to trade lower? This was a short below important technical support play. If you hopped on the subway, came to work, found this setup, and made this trade, then that was one experience. One rep trading this play. It would take an awful long time to master this trade at this rate. You might only see this trade once a week. But with simulation, a daily learning schedule, you can turn that one experience into 10 plus. As a trader, you can transform one day of trading experience into 10. What if you did the following before you left work on this trading session? Made detailed notes in your trading journal. That's two experiences. Discussed this setup with others on the desk in the play. Now three experiences. Replayed the trade in your head. And four. Watched your video recording of this trade. Now five. Met in a training room and watched video of this trade with a group. And six. Visualized making this trade after the close. And seven. Practiced this trade on a dedicated simulator such as our Secret Project X. And 8 and 9 and 10. With just this one trade, you can turn one trading experience into 10 plus. Developing a daily learning schedule can transform one trading day of experience into 10. In 6 months, you can gain 3 years of trading experience following a daily practice routine. Or you can head home after the market closes, flip on ESPN, play video games, grab drinks with friends at a local pub, and let one trading day of experience linger as one day of trading experience. Bounce back from defeat. All traders have bad days. There are still days when I feel abused. There were days where I would just go home, sit on my couch listless, and watch the Yankees. A sense of failure and guilt would consume me. I was a prisoner in my own guilt house. CPTs will be profitable 80 to 90% of their trading days, but that still leaves 10 to 20% of trading days when they will lose money. Some days you will get stopped out. They are inevitable. There is a very fine line between a good trade and missing a trade, especially when your trading frame is as short as mine. A second can be an eternity in intraday trading. We are talking many fractions of a second, which may be all we have to enter an excellent risk-reward opportunity with some trades, and some days you are just off. In the past, I have sulked after a poor trading day. I can remember sitting on my couch, sick to my stomach, mentally abusing myself with, "How can you be so stupid? You call yourself a trader? You ought to stop that. It is not possible that anyone could be worse at their job than you." Traders are great at really beating themselves up. After one of my favorite athletes, Phil Mickelson, blew a chance to win at Winged Foot by overcooking his driver on 18, he said in the press room afterward, "I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I did that." I knew exactly how he felt. This is the raw emotion right after combat. But then you have to move on. You must take some time, let go of these feelings, and start to work on getting better. And when you gain maturity as a trader, you will learn the importance of seeing your failure as an opportunity to learn. What can you do starting right now to get better? How do you eliminate your mistakes from today? Every rip can make you a better trader. Embrace these tough days as a learning experience. Thank the market for offering this opportunity. One of my favorite traders we will call Playmaker. He is 300 pounds plus. He was a starting defensive lineman on his college's football team. Playmaker bounces at a bar on the weekends. I doubt there are many scuffles where he works in Hoboken. And he knows I love it when our guys fight till the end of the day. Often I challenge, "The day doesn't end until 4. If you are down on the open, you make one good trade and then one good trade until the bell rings. You don't pick up your stuff and head home for the day. You don't complain or pout or feel sorry for yourself. The market doesn't care. Let me offer a few back-in-the-day trading anecdotes to give you some inspiration to sit in your seat the next time you start being negative. I have seen Steve down on multiple occasions more than $100,000. Once he finished positive. One of the best day traders from back in the day, let's call him Happy Prince, he was known for getting ridiculously good prints, was down close to $100,000 one trading day and approached his manager. Happy Prince announced, "I think I'm going to head home." This manager recommended that he stick around and chip away at his losses. Talk about a great recommendation. Happy Prince, down near $100,000, finished up $65,000. So one day, Playmaker starts down $1,200, and he stays with it. By the close, he finishes flat. We talk after the close, and he says, "The market doesn't close till 4 o'clock, right, Bella?" That is some good stuff. That is what I like to hear. That is showing some heart, hanging in there and showing the toughness, the resilience to be a good trader. One trading session, a new trader started down $100 and then finished up $200. He had just started. I made a loud, huge deal about the skill he was now developing. His PL swing was not important. It was that this talented new trader had now learned how to fight back, trade after trade, to prevent a stop-out. He showed resilience. Resilience is a skill developed, and it reminds me of my favorite Thomas Paine quote, "The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value." The day doesn't end until 4 p.m. Adam Gurin, one of the best young prop traders in the business who once made Trader Monthly's top 30 under 30 list, said in an interview with a popular trading blog, Wall Street Cheat Sheet, As a novice trader, it is important to be resilient. You're never going to be right all the time. That's hard to swallow for a lot of novice traders. Mr. Gurin, a former professional soccer player who trades international equities around the clock at First New York Securities, counseled that you must learn to accept you are going to be wrong often and bounce back. Dr. Ari Kiev, a leading trading psychiatrist best known for his work with Olympic athletes, and top equities trader Stephen Cohen of SAC Capital, in his book Trade to Win, wrote, "The trading arena has produced its share of select super traders, market practitioners who set themselves apart from the rest of the field with one distinct advantage, mental and emotional toughness. Like outstanding athletes who stay focused, remain calm, and stick to their game plan, these master traders in this highly risky, highly competitive arena possess an edge that keeps them from being distracted by fear, self-doubt, greed, and other emotional components that can cause major losses and prevent gains from soaring to new highs. Resilience is key. A trader must be like Mariano Rivera after a tough day. They must have the mentality of a closer. After blowing a save for the Yankees, Mo, unlike fanatical Yankees fans, forgets it. The next day, he does not remember his last blown save. He goes back to what he does well. Hard cutter in, hard cutter in. Just like you ought to as a trader. One good trade, one good trade. Yesterday's past rips have nothing to do with today. If we make one good trade and then one good trade, then the rips yesterday will have no impact on our trades today. Go back to work the next day with the attitude that today will be a great day, because this is what a consistently profitable trader does, and this is your goal. Eliminate your mistakes. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Albert Einstein. As a developing trader, you must note what works for you and continue to do more of this. But you must also eliminate your mistakes. At the end of every day in your trading journal, you must make a list of things that do not work for you, and then eliminate them. I learned the importance of this exercise from a former trader at SMB who we brought on in the beginning. We were lucky to have him as long as we did. He was a former market maker trying to transition to electronic trading. Often, former NYSE floor traders, sales traders, or hedge fund traders struggle transitioning to electronic trading because of their weak bidding and offering skills, or getting executions at the best prices. But PK learned quickly. PK was one of those guys who seemed to have it all. He was handsome, with sandy blonde hair and boyish looks. He was a great tennis player who had played in college. He was very bright, a graduate of RIT. And he picked up electronic trading faster than anyone we have trained who made the transition. PK's work got better every week. One day I went up to him and asked him how he improved so quickly, and he said, "I just eliminate my mistakes every day." Oh, here I was waiting for a complex response, and PK offered something so brilliantly simple. PK left to help his wife with her business, and we fell out of touch. Let me offer a quick exercise to help with your trading. No matter what your skill level, go get your trading journal and place it next to your trading station. Draw a line down the middle of your trading journal. On the left, keep a list of things that do not work for you. Trading setups that do not work, pre-market routines that are not effective, trading rules that are not helpful. On the right, keep track of what works for you. Do more of what is on the right-hand side, and don't do any of what is on the left-hand side. For example, some developing traders start a position with their biggest size, instead of scaling into this position after confirmation to load up. This you must eliminate. One of our best developing traders was trading WFC. He saw a pattern change by reading the tape. The stock was in a downtrend. He started a long position at 20 cents. But he just started with 2,000 shares. G-Man, our head trader, called him out for this. G-Man instructed that when you see the pattern change, buy just 600 shares, or one lot, for this trader. When 30 cents holds the bid, then you add another 600 shares. When the SPY spiked, then you add another lot. When the 33-cent seller lifted, then you add another lot. Hold your biggest position only when more indicators are in your favor. But you don't just start with 2,000 shares. Most people go to work and do an excellent job. At some point, they have an annual review. Their boss will come into their review and compliment them on their performance. They will laud the employee on how hard he or she works and the value that he or she adds to the company. And then the boss will say something like, "It would be nice if you took more initiative." But if that's the only thing to nitpick over, the boss will conclude with, "You're doing a great job. I do not know what we would do without you." After the review, the employee will go home. He or she will have dinner with his or her significant other, and a conversation will begin about the review. The employee will say, "Do I have something to tell you? Can you believe that my SOB boss complained about me taking more initiative? Tomorrow, I am going to take more initiative to point out what a moronic boss he is." And if you are any successful significant other, your job now is to look flabbergasted and try adding, "What a jackass, honey." That employee will then go back to work, do nothing about taking more initiative, and feel contempt for the boss. The company will not care that much, since overall this employee is doing a great job. Well, the market is different. Let me introduce you to our boss, the market. The market has a much more cut-and-dry performance review. First of all, performance is not reviewed annually. It is reviewed after every trade. If you do something wrong, the market does not wait till the end of the year to let you know. She tells you right away with a rip. Thank you, market. Also, if you choose not to change your behavior, then the market will just reach into your bank account and take your money. Simple, honest, unwavering. Barring a broker's execution error, there really is no appeals process. You cannot go to the market and say, "Oh, now I know you were serious. Can I have my money back, please?" The market will take your money, care less about doing so, and be on the alert to take more. The great gift of trading is that you must learn to change. You must eliminate your mistakes, and you must do so immediately. A CPT sees a loss as a learning opportunity. After the 2001 PGA Championship, in which Phil Mickelson three-putted on 16 to cost him the tournament, he worked on his lag putting. Phil hired Dave Pelz, who offered him a series of drills to improve this skill. Soon after, Phil won three majors. It is a gift to learn what we need to work on, and there is always something to improve. You will never get it. You will just get better and earn more chances to get even better. Respect the markets. Again, you have one boss, the market. The market will disrespect those who disrespect her. If you are unprepared, you will be punished. If you lack discipline, you will be reprimanded. The market eliminates those unworthy of participation. Some examples of being disrespectful as an intraday trader: if you are doubling down, then you are being disrespectful. To double down means to start a position for it to trade against your stop loss and then double your position. If you fail to hit stocks that hit your predetermined exit price, then you are being disrespectful. If you are unprepared to trade, then you are being disrespectful. If you ignore the price action of a stock or the market because they are disharmonious with your predictions, then this is disrespectful. The result of such actions are heavy fines from Mother Market. When you actively trade like we do, you compete against the most sophisticated people in the world. Many are former D1 athletes. Most are Ivy League educated. They may have more money and experience than you. They probably are armed with more information than you, supported by analysts and hungry trader-in-waiting clerks. They sit around their mahogany conference room tables, nibbling lunch catered by the firm, and groupthink about ways to take your money. This is a full contact sport. Anything less than your complete focus is disrespectful. Who the hell are you to think you can roll in at 9:20 a.m., sit down at your trading station, check out a few websites, glance at your filters, and think that you can compete against them? The market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent, wrote John Maynard Keynes at the beginning of the 20th century. This is still true today. I cannot think of a quote that has been more helpful to me during my trading career. So now you know this. There are going to be trades where you watch the price action and think, what the, expletive deleted, is happening here? This move is ridiculous. You will watch stocks sold at prices that you are convinced are crazy, and it probably is. But you have to survive these irrational moves in a stock. You can wipe out your trading account on one crazy move. Over the course of your trading career, you will develop thousands of excellent risk-reward opportunities. Why jeopardize your career, your passion, on one trading idea? Thinking you know best or you are bigger than the market is disrespectful. A raid on Amaranth. Let me share a famous trading anecdote. Brian Hunter was a star trader at Amaranth Advisors, a massive multi-strategy hedge fund at the peak of the hedge fund heyday in the mid-2000s. This 32-year-old Canadian cowboy was up $2 billion trading natural gas for 2006. There was not a bigger natural gas player than Mr. Hunter. But when all was said and done, there would be a new biggest player, Houston-based trader John Arnold of Centaurus Energy. Did I mention that Mr. Hunter was a star? A trading superstar with an impressive track record. For years, he took home more than eight figures and even got into a lawsuit with his old employer, Deutsche Bank, over how many more millions they supposedly still owed him. He left for Amaranth soon after. He was so good at what he did that Amaranth let him trade from his hometown of Calgary, Alberta, Canada, over 2,000 miles from the firm's Connecticut headquarters. Mr. Hunter's fortune quickly unraveled. See figure 4.3 on your bonus material. From up $2 billion, he quickly lost $6.6 billion in a matter of weeks in August of 2006. How? Mr. Hunter repeatedly doubled down on a risky, volatile, bullish position called in energy trading circles the Widowmaker. On the other side of this trade, John Arnold. Natural gas plummeted from $15 to below $4 in a terrible, unusually steep down move on a weak hurricane season. Amaranth went from $10 billion in assets under management to near $4.5 billion. The feds were raiding Amaranth's headquarters shortly after. Arnold ended up taking home over $1.5 billion for himself that year. And remember that Mr. Hunter had billions to allocate to protect his position. And even with these unusually deep pockets, he was forced to liquidate his positions. J.P. Morgan, Hunter's prime broker, only exacerbated the process. The bank kept calling for more collateral to support his humongous positions, and once the collateral didn't arrive, his credit was pulled. The J.P. Morgan prop energy desk crossed the Chinese wall and took the trade off Hunter's hands for pennies on the dollar, only to make an absolute killing in the next few weeks once natural gas prices rebounded. For the trader at home, or at a prop desk, with many dollars less than billions, you cannot withstand such drawdowns. SNDK Ripper. I have to share a personal trading story involving Steve, me, and a stock, the very mention of which causes my mood to turn dour. G-Man is afraid to mention this stock to me whenever it is in play, for fear of upsetting me. I had to research the specific facts of this day because I think my brain has protectively blocked this day from my memory. This was one of the worst trading days for Steve and me personally. We got hammered. The whole thing makes me upset just rereading what happened. One day there was an announcement that INTC and MU were going to enter SNDK's space. SNDK was killing it at the time, and Steve and I did not see the real threat. SNDK gapped down. For us, this was a classic bounce candidate. The pre-market had just gotten this story wrong, and we would get long and ride SNDK up so it would fill the gap. SNDK was down big. SNDK opened near 54. There was some buying, so we got long. SNDK traded lower. We hit the bids and took a loss. There was some more buying. We bought. SNDK traded lower and we hit the bids. We repeated this process more times than I care to share.